She spoke in the matter-of-fact way of children who have no way of knowing how unusual their situation is. She had the hours of a lawyer trying to make partner, or a medical resident. All that was missing was dark circles under her eyes and a steaming cup of coffee, except that she was too young for either. "Sometimes I don't go to sleep when I'm supposed to," Marita continued. "I go to sleep at like 12, and the next afternoon it will hit me, and I will doze off in class. But then I have to wake up because I have to get the information. I remember I was in one class, and I was dozing off, and the teacher saw me and said, 'Can I talk to you after class?' And he asked me, 'Why were you dozing off?' And I told him I went to sleep late. And he was like, 'You need to get to sleep earlier.'" This is not the life of a typical 12-year-old, nor is it what we would necessarily wish for a 12-year-old. Children, we like to believe, should have time to play and dream and sleep. Marita has responsibilities. She is being asked to make the same kind of hard choice that the Korean pilots had to make. To become a success at what they did, they had to shed some part of their own identity because the deep respect for authority that runs throughout Korean culture simply does not work in the cockpit. Marita has had to do the same because the cultural legacy she has been given does not match her circumstances either. Not when middle and upper middle class families are using weekends and summer vacations to push their children ahead. Her community does not give her what she needs. And what does she have to do? To give up her evenings and weekends and friends, all the elements of her old world, for Kip. Here is Marita again in a passage that is little short of heartbreaking. "When we first started fifth grade, I used to have contact with one of the girls from my old school. And whenever I left school on Friday, I would go to her house and stay there until my mom would get home from work. So I would be at her house and I would be doing my homework. She would never have any homework. And she would say, 'Oh my God, you stay there late.' Then she said she wanted to go to KIPP, but then she would say that KIPP is too hard and she didn't want to do it. And I would say, 'Everyone says that KIPP is hard, but once you get the hang of it, it's not really that hard.' She told me, 'It's because you're smart.' And I said, 'No, every one of us is smart.' And she was so discouraged because we stayed until 5 and we had a lot of homework, and I told her that us having a lot of homework helps us do better in class. And she told me she didn't want to hear the whole speech. All my friends are now from KIPP." But think of things from Marita's perspective. She has made a bargain with her school. She will get up at 5:45 in the morning, go in on a Saturday, and do homework until 11 at night. In return, KIPP promises it will take kids like her who are stuck in poverty and give them a chance to get out. It will get 84% of them up to or above their grade level in mathematics. On the strength of that performance, 90% of KIPP students get scholarships to private or parochial high schools instead of having to attend their own desultory high schools in the Bronx. And on the strength of that high school experience, more than 80% of KIPP graduates are now going on to college, in many cases being the first in their family to do so.